I'm thankful for a church that even when a man's plans go awry, they still want to have an emphasis on mission and take a day and set it aside. And we're going to try to put 3 days of missions conference into 1 day. And with that being said, I might even end a few minutes early just to make sure y'all come back tonight as well. Amen. So it's good to be here. If you have your Bibles this morning, open them up to Romans chapter 10. Just use that as a launching pad. Talk mainly about just two basic thoughts, but two basic thoughts that are vital for missions. And really, these two things this morning we're going to discuss in the Sunday school hour, if they're put into place, everything else falls into its place. You know, the emphasis about missions is not going. The emphasis of missions is not giving. But when we put the emphasis where it's supposed to be, going and giving will find the place, the correct order in our lives. Okay. And so I want to, the title of the lesson, now before I give the title, let me say this. I am a preacher more than a teacher. And so when I'm asked to teach Sunday school, I normally end up just preaching it, all right? So we're going to try to teach Sunday school instead of preach Sunday school, but you might get some of both. I might just go back and forth between the two, preaching and teaching, but I'm excited about what God's going to do in our hearts today. So the title of the lesson or the message of this morning is Faith and Victory and the Effect and their effect on missions. Faith and victory and their effect on missions. Romans chapter 10, we're going to be reading in verse number 9, mostly just to just make sure we read over a few verses that are good for the soul. All right. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those group of verses right there will change the eternal destiny of every person on this world. The reason we do missions is because of those verses right there. The reason we have a missions conference or a mission emphasis Sunday, the reason we give, the reason we go is because of those verses right there. The need of salvation. Now those verse 14 and 15, this is kind of what we're going to use as launching power. We're going to look at a few other passages this morning. But the Bible says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So this first section of verses, we have the reason we go, the reason we give, is because people need to call on the name of the Lord, believing in their heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. The need of salvation. The next two verses here, 14 and 15, show us the importance of the preacher and the sender. Look at verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'll pray with me. I'm going to give you these thoughts this morning. Just faith and victory and their effect on mission. All right, Father, we just come to you very quickly before we get into this lesson this morning, just asking you, Holy Ghost, to meet with us in a special way. God, don't just, we know you're here, but Lord, we don't just need you to show up. We need you to show out this morning. And so, Holy Ghost, I pray you'd fill us and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now if we were to look at faith and we would ask people for a definition of faith, many times we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, where it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then if I would ask you to define the definition, you, as most likely, would be just like me, and we'd have to shrug our shoulders. Because we know that verse, and we use it to define faith, but we don't know what the definition even means. It's almost like when you look up a definition for the word, and they use the word to define itself. Oh, what does it mean? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, if you think I shared all that so I could explain the definition, I'm sorry, because I still don't understand that verse myself. But I'm talking about some things that we just know about faith. I mean, sometimes it's more of a head knowledge than a heart knowledge. For example, we know that we're to walk by faith, not by sight. We know that. We know the verse. I just quoted the verse, and we hear it all the time preached from the pulpit. Walk by faith, walk by faith, walk by faith. But what does that mean? How do you walk by faith? The Bible tells us also in the book of Romans that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now when we understand that verse, that begins to change our entire outlook on how much have we actually sinned today? How much have we actually walked with God today? That which is not of faith is sin. Okay, so if I have to live by faith, because if I do anything that's not of faith, if that is sin, then how do I do this? Again, I'm talking about things we know, but then do we know the how? What does it mean to walk by faith? What does it mean to live by faith? What does it mean when it says without faith, it is impossible to please God? Hebrews 11:6. Let me give you a few quick things here on what faith does. Okay, we're going to look at what faith is, but let me show you what faith does. In Matthew chapter 19, verse number 26, we see that faith makes the impossible possible. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Number two, we already mentioned this one, but what does faith do? Faith pleases God, Hebrews 11:6. I like this one in Matthew chapter 17, verse number 20. Jesus said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to yonder this, and it shall be moved. What is that mountain? That mountain is an obstacle in your life. Something that is getting in the way of you doing what you're supposed to be. So what does faith do? Faith removes obstacles in our life. Helps us get through obstacles in our life. Helps us get around obstacles in our life. And then faith, and this is leading into our next word, but faith gives the victorious Christian life. Faith gives the victorious Christian life. We'll get into that a little more in a few moments. So we know what faith does. We know what we're supposed to do with faith. We're to walk by it. We're to live by it. We know what faith does now, but how do we grow our faith? How do we grow our faith? Well, the verse we read here in Romans chapter 10, verse 17 shows us that we grow our faith by the Word of God. So get it into our Bible. You know, a lot of times people, if you ask them about their faith, they say, well, I don't have much of it. Or I have faith, but it's small. I need to grow in my faith. How do we do that? The Word of God. Not only that, I like this one. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 11, we're going through the heroes of the faith. What that is all those who did something by faith or in faith. And in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 11, the writer is talking about Sarah, the wife of Abraham. And we know the story. We're going to probably mention it a little later on as well. But God came to Abraham and said, "You're going to have a son." And Sarah's in the back of the tent, and she laughs. God said, "Why did Sarah laugh?" She said, "I didn't laugh." And of course, God calls her out on it. But as time goes on, Sarah begins to change from laughing to living in this faith in the promise of God. And in verse number 11 of Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us how she did that. It says, because she counted him faithful. How do you go from laughing at God to living by faith in God? Because she counted him faithful. Here's how you grow your faith. Not only do you go by the word of God, but you remember his faith. It'll grow your faith. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. What he says he will do, he has done, or he's getting ready to do. He never fails on a promise. He always gets us through. And so if he's done it before, and we know he is faithful, then when the next trial comes, when the next commandment is given, I know because of his faithfulness, I can go forward in faith. The Bible talks about in another place that he is faithful that has promise. And so the Bible will help you grow your faith. Remembering God's faithfulness will help you grow in faith. And the next two go together. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. I already mentioned verse 20. Faith the size of a mustard seed, move this mountain from here to yonder thence. However, Jesus said, howbeit, this kind goeth not forth, but by prayer and fast. So how do you grow your faith? The Word of God, the faithfulness of God, praying to God, and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Now, we know what prayer is, right? Prayer is going to God with your heart's desire, with your heart cry. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. That's prayer. We go to God on behalf of self, on behalf of others, and then we watch God because we know He's faithful to answer prayer. And so when I see God answer this prayer, I know I can go to Him with this next prayer. And the more I see Him answer, the more I will go to Him. Because I know, I have faith that He will do. Fasting. What is fasting? I remind you that Jesus said Himself, whosoever will come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Denying ourselves. Denying the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk then in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So fasting, what is that? Fasting is denying our flesh. Now, a lot of times we take fasting and we say, well, that has to do with not eating a meal, not skipping a meal. But, you know, fasting is more than just not eating. Let me give you a definition for fasting. Fasting is keeping yourself from your present physical need or desire for a greater spiritual need or desire. For example, my flesh desires this temptation. My flesh desires this. And so listen, sometimes it's not a sin. It's just a weight, according to Hebrews chapter 12. So our flesh desires this. It's not the best thing for us. Well, the Spirit desires that which is best. And so while the tug to my flesh is this way, what I do, I deny my flesh. I tell the flesh no. I bring my mind under self-control to bring it under Spirit control, and I now turn my focus to what the Spirit wants. Fasting. I don't want this. I'm not depending on what my flesh wants. I'm depending upon what God wants for me. I'm not depending on what my old nature wants, my old master wants. I'm depending on what the new me wants in Christ. And so the more I keep myself, the more I do not depend on self, and the more I depend on Spirit, I am now relying on the Lord, and as He comes through for me, I grow in faith. Does that make sense? Right. Have I lost anybody? So faith, what are we supposed to do with faith? Walk by faith? Live by faith? What does faith do? How do we grow in faith? Now, let me give you what faith is. All right. By the way, let me say again, we're not looking at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. By the way, if anyone has a good definition for the definition of Hebrews 11, 1, please see me after the service. I'd love to get your thoughts on it. All right. Now, this definition for faith would say, we use it in our Bible colleges in India. We use it when we're able to teach classes here in the States, going to other countries, taking mission trips. This would be the Ain't God Good ministry definition of faith. Okay. Number one, it's a 3-point definition. Number one, faith is hearing the Word of God. Faith is hearing the Word of God. Well, how do we know? Again, our same verse, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith is not just a shot in the dark. Faith is not presumption. Faith is hearing directly the Word of God. Whether it's in written form or through the still small voice of the indwelling Holy Ghost. Hearing the Word of God. Let me give you an example. Matthew chapter 14, Jesus has just fed the 5,000 men, not counting women and children. He commands the disciples to get into the ship and straightway go to the other side. He goes up into the mountain to pray. While the disciples are crossing over to the other side, a major storm comes up. They believe they're going to die. The boat's filling with water. The waves are crashing. The lightning's flashing. And the thunder's clap. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus after praying. He starts walking to them on the water. And as Jesus is walking on the water, the disciples see Him through the mist and in between lightning flashes, and they cry out for fear because they think it's a ghost, not the Holy Ghost. And so they cry out for fear, and Jesus says, be of good cheer, as I do not be afraid. And Peter, he decides he's going to be the leader of the bunch. He says, well, Lord, if it's really You, I'm going to put Jesus to the test. If it's really You, tell me, specifically, to come to You walking on the water. And the answer that Jesus gives astounds me. One word. Come. Just one word. Come. Peter heard the Word of God. Heard the Word of God. Now, let me give you the give another example. We'll go back. We'll come back to Peter in a moment. Pause there. Shifts attention to this screen on your right. Abraham. Living in the land of Ur with his father. God comes to him and says, I want you to leave your birthplace. I want you to leave your family. And I want you to start walking until I show you where to stop. And when you get there, by the way, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. You're going to have a son. And then your generations are going to be as the stars in the sky and the sand on the shore. That was God's word to Abraham. Go and have a son. Abraham's heard the Word of God. He's heard. Number two, faith is not only hearing the Word of God, but faith is believing the Word of God. Faith is believing the Word of God. We're talking about Abraham here for a moment. Abraham heard the Word of God, and then he had to believe the Word of God. Romans chapter 4, verse number 3 says, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, my Bible tells me that only by faith you can be made righteous. But here it says that through the belief he was made righteous. Guess what that means? Believing God is part of faith. Verse number 5 of Romans 4. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So there we have faith and belief both counted for righteousness. Now, dealing with Abraham again, verse 20 and 21 of the same chapter. Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. What's that mean? He believed with all his heart that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham heard the word of God. Abraham believed. He said, how do we know? Romans chapter 4 says, Abraham believed God. Let's go back to Peter for a moment. Jesus said, come. Peter heard the word of the Lord. And then he had to believe. He said, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. Jesus said, come, so guess what that means? It's Jesus. He had to believe. So faith is hearing the word of God. Faith is believing the word of God. But this is where the rubber meets the road. Number 3, faith is acting on the word of God. Faith is acting on the word of God. Abraham, go to the land that I'm going to show you. He believed it with all his heart, Romans chapter 4. But then Abraham had to get up, pack his stuff, and start walking. And guess what? He did. We know that. He started walking. Abraham, you're going to have a son in your old age. Sarah laughed. Abraham's wondering, how can this be? But he heard the word of God. The Bible says he believed the word of God. And then may I say this, Abraham and Sarah went on a second honeymoon. Acted on the word of God. Peter, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. Jesus said, come. Peter heard it. Peter believed it. You say, how do you know Peter believed it? Because the Lord, he said, if it's you, tell me. And so he said it. And then guess what Peter did? He acted on it. He stepped out of the boat and started going to Jesus on the water. He heard, he believed, and he acted on the word of God. He did not act off of what he thought. He did not act off what somebody else said. He did not act off presumption. They acted off the word of God. By the way, I did not look up the number. I should say I cannot recall the number at this time. But Peter walked on water, which had never been done before, with one word from the Lord. We have, well, you can count them on your own. What hinders us from doing something impossible for God? What keeps us from walking on the water for Jesus? May I say it's not the fact that we do not hear. It's not the fact that we do not believe. It's the fact that we will not act. And the acting upon is the completion of faith. Faith is birthed at the Word of God. Faith is grown from the Word of God to where we can believe it in our heart. Yes, we know for sure it is God. You can have that. You can hear and you can believe. But until you act upon the Word of God, you are not living by faith. It's a mission emphasis Sunday. In order for you, I am of the understanding that you all do faith promise. Is that correct? Yes? All right. I was told that. I was just making sure. Some of you may not know yourself, amen. But faith promise. What that is God, we commit to God by faith. God lays a number on us. Listen, it's not a number I think of. It's not a number you think of. It's not something that sounds good or we feels good. No, no. It's a number that the Holy Ghost, through the Word of God, says, give this much. Now listen, you can hear it. And you can believe that is the amount God wants you to give towards missions for this year. But unless you act on it by faith, you will not be effective in missions. Think about going. God says, I want you to go here. God says, I want you to get involved in this ministry. God says, I want you to go to this person. God says, I want you to do this. You can hear it. And you can believe it is God all you want to. But unless you act on it, unless you go to that country, go to that person, get involved in this ministry, by faith, it will not be effective in reaching souls for the kingdom of God. I said the title of the message is Faith and Victory and the Effect It Has on Mission. If you do not have faith, you will not give what God tells you. If you're not living by faith, you will not go where God tells you to go. That's why I said if you get this right, the rest of it falls into place. Hearing, believing, and acting on the Word of God. Listen, that's just practical, everyday living. What should I do today? Where should I go? I'm going to get fanatical about this for a minute. Okay? What should I eat? I mean, listen, if we're supposed to live by faith, I believe we should probably take everything by the throne of God. God, what do you say about this? And it gets us sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. Now let's mention victory for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 57, the familiar verse, I'm sure, to most of us. But it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You say, okay, that's a short verse. I could memorize that. Okay, but what's it mean? Number one, it means that victory is already given. Here's the problem. Let me set this up for you as best I can. God convicts us of our lost condition. We know we're a sinner in need of a Savior on our way to hell, and that we are in power, and we are in bondage to the power of indwelling sin. So we know that Jesus came and died on the cross for us while we were yet sinners, so we call upon Him, believing in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, we're now saved. When you get saved, you are now free from the bondage of sin. You are no longer under the power of sin. You are now under the power of the Holy Ghost of God. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3 that the seed of God indwells you. God Himself lives inside you, child of God. So that means if Jesus lives inside of us, the Holy Ghost indwells us and is with us. Why is it that we walk around defeated? Why is it that we're always struggling with that sin? Why is it that we're always giving in to that temptation? Why is it we're bringing ourselves back over to the power of sin and bowing down to it says, "You rule me"? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He saved us from the penalty of sin. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, He saved us from the power of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says, "Sin shall have no more dominion over you." Romans 8, 11, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead, that power indwells you, child of God. Which means through Jesus Christ, victory lives inside of you. You are not defeated striving for victory. You are victorious living based upon how you're thinking. Victory's already been given. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. So not only is it already given, but it's a guaranteed expectation. Which means we can live in victory being surprised by defeat instead of living in defeat being surprised by victory. Here's another thing. If the Bible says, the Word of God says that we are victorious in Christ and we already have the victory through Christ, guess what? If I feel defeated, if I feel like I'm a loser, I'm not living by faith. Because what is faith? Faith is hearing, believing, and acting on the Word of God. And the Word of God says, you already have the victory. You're not fighting to get it. You fight because you have it. That's the Word of God. So if I do not feel, if my feelings do not line up with the Word of God, then I need to take God at His Word and reject my feelings. And claim the victory. because it's already given. It's a guaranteed expectation. Now, here's where it meets together. This victory is access. See, you already have it. But it's access by faith. Victory is access by faith. Let me read a verse to you. 1 John chapter 5. If I still have that book in my Bible, I believe it is. I do not have it marked. Didn't plan on going there. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So that victory that dwells inside of you, child of God, it's guaranteed. It is there for the take. You access it by not how you feel, not by what you're facing, but by faith. Hearing, believing, and acting on the Word of God. I have the victory. I remember as a little boy, me and my twin, I'm a twin, amen, there's two of me, praise God, hallelujah. But me and my twin, we had what we called it a punching buddy. And a punching buddy, you might call him something different, but you blew it up and you could punch it, you could kick it, and it would just keep popping back up. Popping back up. Ours was red, had a black mask, had on green boxing gloves, and we could punch it as hard as we could. We could kick it as much as we wanted, and it would just keep popping back up, and popping back up, and popping back up. Man, we get so frustrated, we run and tackle it like a linebacker, amen. We just get tired of it. We hold it down, but guess what? As soon as we got up, whoop, it popped back up. We'd hit it again, and whoop, it popped back up. I started wondering, what is it that makes that punching buddy keep getting up? It's not what it's made of. It's just made of some canvas sewn together and some air. That's not going to make it pop out. But what made it keep popping back up was something deep down on the inside. That was not of itself. What we would do, you go and you get some had water, some had sand, you get that sand, and you fill up the bottom of that punching buddy with that sand. That sand is not part of the punching buddy. It's completely separate, but the sand has come and has indwelt that punching buddy. And so now, no matter how hard you punch it, no matter how hard you kick it, how much you tackle it, what is deep down on the inside allows it to keep popping back up. But guess what? If you keep getting up and don't stay down in a fight, you'll never lose. When you got saved, Jesus Christ Himself was put in you deep down on the inside. And the devil and the world and the flesh and temptation and sin can beat you and punch you and kick you and tackle you all at once. But listen, child of God, there's something deep down on the inside of you that allows you to keep popping back up and getting back up. And you cannot be defeated because of Jesus Christ inside of you. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave His life for me. What is that? Christ liveth in me. That's victory. How did He do it? By faith in the Son of God. Faith, the effect it has on mission. You will not go, you will not give, you will not do unless you hear, believe, and act on the Word of God. Victory, the effect it has on missions. If we walk around defeated, if we walk around as losers, if we walk around thinking we're just dirt balls, we will not effectively share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins, His burial, and resurrection, which gives us life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That just doesn't mean the power of sin. That means your past is gone. All things are become new. You're put in Christ's line. Christ is put in you. And when you understand the victory you have in Christ, you understand the importance of giving that to a lost and dying world. Faith and victory. Are you living by faith today? Are you acting on what God is telling you to do? And are you living in the victory that Christ has already given? He's declared us righteous. He has made us righteous. And as we let Him live through us, He establishes us in righteousness. Faith, victory. Are you using them for the cause of missions, locally, nationally, and around the world? Father, I pray.